Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and joining me as always is Mike. Today is Tuesday, May 12th, 2026, and we are covering the top stories from yesterday, May 11th. This is episode number 393. How are you doing today, Mike?
I am doing great, Sarah. We have a really fascinating lineup today. We are looking at a highly sophisticated supply chain attack on the Tanstack NPM packages, Anthropic's new Mythos AI model going up against the legendary Curl codebase, a developer's realization that AI vibe coding might just be creating massive technical debt, a wild new terminal emulator with inline 3D graphics, and finally, Google's new very strict requirements for creating a Gmail account.
It is a packed show, so let us jump right into it. Our first story is a postmortem on the Tanstack NPM supply chain compromise, which pulled in over 600 points. If you use React or modern JavaScript frameworks, you almost certainly rely on Tanstack libraries, like their router or query tools. Yesterday, an attacker managed to publish 84 malicious versions across 42 Tanstack packages.
And the way they did it is honestly terrifying. It wasn't a leaked password or a simple phishing trick. The attacker exploited the pull request target pattern in GitHub Actions, combined with cache poisoning across the fork to base trust boundary. Basically, they submitted a malicious pull request from a fork, triggered a workflow that ran the code, poisoned the GitHub Actions cache, and then extracted an OIDC token from the runner process. They used that token to publish directly to the NPM registry.
What is wild is that they did this without stealing any long-lived NPM tokens, and the actual publish workflow was not even compromised directly. It was all side-channel cache poisoning. The payload itself was nasty. If you ran NPM install on an affected version, it would execute an obfuscated script that harvests credentials from AWS, Google Cloud, Kubernetes, your local NPMRC, SSH keys, you name it.
The Hacker News comments were on fire about this, especially regarding a specific detail in the payload. A user named Cube00 pointed out that the malware actually installs a dead man switch. It sets up a system service that pulls GitHub with your stolen token every 60 seconds. If you realize you are compromised and revoke the token, the script detects the HTTP 400 error and immediately runs a command to delete your entire home directory.
That is incredibly malicious. It sparked a huge debate in the comments about Linux security and the illusion of safety with the sudo command. A user named LVRick pointed out that malware doesn't even need root access to ruin your day. They can just alias your sudo command in your bashrc file to silently pipe your password to an attacker server before running the real sudo.
Exactly. It really drove home the point that if your machine runs malicious code from an NPM install, you cannot just clean it up. You have to nuke it from orbit. You have to assume everything is compromised. It's a stark reminder of how fragile our open source supply chain is, even for massive, well-maintained projects like Tanstack.
Speaking of security, our next story is titled Mythos Finds a Curl Vulnerability, written by Daniel Stenberg, the lead developer of Curl. This one got over 630 points. Anthropic recently made a lot of noise about their new AI model, Mythos, claiming it is dangerously good at finding security flaws in source code. They even restricted its release because of how supposedly dangerous it is.
Right. It is the classic AI marketing playbook. So the Linux Foundation arranged for Mythos to scan the Curl codebase. Now, Curl is one of the most fuzzed, audited, and analyzed pieces of C code on the planet. The AI scanned about 178,000 lines of code and initially reported 5 confirmed security vulnerabilities.
But when Daniel and his security team actually dug into the report, they downgraded 4 of those. 3 were false positives related to documented API behavior, and 1 was just a regular bug. They were left with exactly 1 confirmed vulnerability, and it is a low severity issue that will just get patched in the next routine release.
Daniel's takeaway was basically, yes, AI code analyzers are getting better, and they are useful tools, but the massive hype around Mythos being some apocalyptic hacking tool is purely marketing. He noted that previous, less hyped AI tools had actually found more bugs in Curl than Mythoster.
The Hacker News comments really zeroed in on this marketing angle. Someone brought up how OpenAI did the exact same thing years ago with GPT-2, claiming it was too dangerous to release because it could generate fake news. It is a brilliant, if slightly manipulative, marketing strategy. You convince the public and regulators that your product is so powerful it needs to be contained, which just makes investors and enterprise customers want it more.
It is the Baba Yaga strategy. You build up fear around your product to bypass normal procurement and go straight to the executive board. But as Daniel proved, when you put it up against bottle-tested code and experienced engineers, it is just another static analysis tool. A good one, sure, but not magic.
That perfectly segues into our top story of the day, with over 900 points, titled, I Am Going Back to Writing Code by Hand. It is a devlog from a developer going by Dropbox Miner, who built a Kubernetes dashboard tool called K10S entirely using what they call vibe coding with Claude.
Vibe coding is such a great term. It's when you just prompt the AI, watch it spit out code, verify that it compiles and kind of works, and move on without really reading the implementation. The author said the first few weeks were magic. They were building at 10 times their normal speed, but then they hit a wall.
A massive wall. They asked Claude to add a new fleet view feature, and it worked perfectly. But when they tried to switch back to an older view, everything broke. Live updates stopped, data was stale, the user interface was blank. The author finally had to open the code and read it. What they found was a 1690-line file with a single God object struct holding the state for everything in the application.
The AI had basically duct-taped every new feature onto this one struct. Every time it needed to switch views, it was manually setting random fields to nil to clear the state, and eventually it just lost track of the spaghetti it had created. The author realized that AI writes features, not architecture.
The comments on this were fantastic. A user named Prone pointed out that the only people who say generated code is fine are the ones who do not read it. Even if you give the AI architectural rules, eventually you will ask for a feature that clashes with those rules. A human knows when to step back and refactor the architecture, but an AI will just contort the code into an unmaintainable mess to satisfy the prompt.
There was a good counterargument from someone named Perining, who said you can force AI to write good code if you enforce extremely small context and strict modular boundaries. But the consensus seemed to be that the human has to be the architect. You cannot outsource the mental model of the system. If you do, you end up with code that devours itself.
Let us take a break from the heavy AI and security topics and look at something just incredibly cool. Our fourth story is Ratty, a terminal emulator with inline 3D graphics. It pulled in over 600 points.
This project is wild. It is a GPU-rendered terminal emulator, but it allows you to render actual 3D objects right there in the text interface. The creator mentioned in their blog post that the direct inspiration for this was Temple OS, the infamous operating system created by the late Terry Davis, which had these amazing 3D sprites embedded directly in the command line.
The Hacker News crowd loves a good retro-futuristic project, and the comments immediately turned into a nostalgia trip. People were bringing up Lisp machines from the 1980s, Symbolics, and Xerox workstations. A user named PJMLP linked to old videos from 1981 showing inline graphics in a REPL environment. It really makes you realize how much we lost when we standardized on the plain text terminal model for Unix.
It is so true. We have been staring at flat text grids for 40 years, and we are only just now starting to see modern terminals experiment with things like image rendering protocols. Someone in the comments even shared a project they built that renders entire GitHub repositories as 3D glyph-based text systems.
I love that hacker spirit. Ratty might not replace your daily driver terminal for your standard server management, but it is a beautiful exploration of what a command line interface could be if we broke out of the strict two-dimensional character grid. It is exactly the kind of passion project that makes Hacker News so fun to read.
For our final story today, we have a post from the Privacy Guides community titled Gmail Registration Now Requires Scanning a QR Code and Sending a Text Message. This one got nearly 600 points. Google is fundamentally changing how you create a new account.
Yes, and it is a massive blow to privacy advocates. Previously, you could use a temporary SMS service to receive a verification code when signing up for Gmail. Now, Google is showing a QR code on the screen. You have to scan it with your smartphone, which drafts a text message on your phone that you have to send to Google servers.
This completely breaks services like SMS Pool, because you cannot easily use a virtual number to send an outbound text to a specific shortcode in this automated way. Google says this is for security, to stop automated bot networks from spinning up millions of spam accounts.
The discussion on Hacker News was really polarized. On one hand, you have the privacy community, who are upset that it is becoming virtually impossible to create an anonymous online identity. If you have to use your real phone plan to send an SMS, your Gmail is permanently linked to your real-world identity and location.
But on the other hand, a user named NightFastest made a really compelling point defending Google. They pointed out that Google has essentially been roped into maintaining a huge chunk of global infrastructure for free. Gmail is a massive target for spammers, scammers, and botnets. The cost and complexity of defending that infrastructure is astronomical.
It is a valid point. We have all gotten so used to free email that we forget it actually costs real money to run. Google is not obligated to provide anonymous email accounts to the world, especially when those anonymous accounts are disproportionately used for abuse. Several commenters suggested that if you want privacy and anonymity, you should just pay for a premium email service.
It really highlights the end of an era for the early internet. The days of spinning up a quick, anonymous free email account are basically over. The big tech companies are locking down their ecosystems, and the only way to play is to tie your digital identity to your physical smartphone.
It is definitely a shift in the landscape. Well, that covers our top stories for today. From the terrifying reality of supply chain attacks and the hangover of AI vibe coding, to 3D terminals and the end of anonymous Gmail, it has been a fascinating snapshot of the tech world.
It really has. Thank you all for tuning in to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends and colleagues.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. Until then, I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Happy hacking, everyone.